The believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel invite you to listen to a gospel message by one of their pastors, Joe Galusik and Walter Pendleton. This week's message is from Joe Galusik. Visit us on the web at www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Men preach what they think is best. There is nothing to preach better than or other than Jesus Christ the Lord. Now this week's message.
I want to read to you today and speak to you from the book of Proverbs, chapter 16 and verse 1. It says, "The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord." I love this verse of scripture. It is one of my favorites. I remember reading this some 30-some years ago and being struck by it. Thus the profoundness, the truth that's in here, in what, actually seeing in this verse what God had done for me, and what God had done to me, and what I had done in response to the work of the Lord. I do want to tell you this. To start out, this is a proverb. This is not a literal account of an actual happening. It's a proverb. A proverb is basically a wise saying. It's called an adage, a maxim, and usually a proverb is of a metaphorical nature. But here, let me be clear. These proverbs are true. And they may have more than one meaning. These proverbs are authored by Solomon, a man to whom the Lord gave wisdom. These proverbs are intended to teach wisdom and knowledge. Even though in these proverbs, Solomon tells us that fools despise both knowledge and wisdom. And they do. That's a proverb. Make no mistake about it, though. This is scripture. This is the word of God. This is just as much scripture as "call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Which, that's a hint. That's what I'm going to try and preach about next week, if the Lord wills. But as scripture, these proverbs are true. And the knowledge and wisdom which we can glean from them is profitable, just like all other scripture. But it starts out, "the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord." Now the word here, preparations, it actually means preparations, arrangements. Figuratively, the word used means mental disposition. What? Why would we need help with our mental disposition? If you have to ask that question, you don't know. That's just the way that part works. I'm worried about my mental disposition today, and certainly was worried about it years and years ago, because I found out my mental disposition was to hate God. That's the state of the natural man, but I'm kind of getting ahead of myself here. But why are we concerned about the preparations of the heart in man? Well, I'll tell you, the heart is very important in Scripture. That's the short answer. Yes, it's important. Because the word heart is used in the Bible in 765 verses and 833 times. Now that's according to my computer Bible program. which is usually pretty accurate. There are many things said about the heart of man, and I'll give you a hint. Many of them are not good. Many are good, but many are not good. And I want to show you, take the time here, to show you some of the things that are said about the heart of man in the scriptures, in the Bible. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9 says this, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" In Exodus 7 and verse 3, we have the words of the Lord spoken to Moses. And he said, "I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt." Then Exodus 7 and verse 13, there's a statement that says, "And he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said." The Lord said he would harden Pharaoh's heart, and guess what? The Lord did harden Pharaoh's heart. And what was the results of that? He did not let the people of Israel go. No, I've heard people say it, and I'm sure you've heard some too. Pharaoh hardened his own heart. Well, it does say that. It does say that. In Exodus 8 and 15, "But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said." But let me point this out. Exodus 7:13, where the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, comes a whole chapter before, and some time in between there, you can read it, when Pharaoh hardened his own heart. But here's the point. Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Yes, the Lord did it. Yes, Pharaoh did it, but his heart was hardened. Psalms 10 and verse 3 says this, "For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth." You're kind of getting the point here. There's a problem with the heart of man. There's a reason the heart of man needs to be prepared. There's a reason the heart of man needs arrangement. It's more than that. It needs a new heart. The man, man as he is born, this is the way God speaks of him. "Wherefore doth the wicked contemn God? He hath said in his heart, Thou wilt not require it. For lo, the wicked bend their bow and make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart." There's a problem with the heart in man. There's a problem. Isaiah 29 and verse 13 states this, "Wherefore the Lord said, For as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men." Now wait a minute, you say, that's all Old Testament stuff. And it is. Certainly it is. What about the New Testament? You know, Jesus always spoke of love, and Jesus was always very nice to everybody. And that's the general idea of Jesus Christ in this world. It's completely and utterly wrong, but it is the general idea. Matthew 12 and verse 34 and 35, Jesus Christ said this to some people, "Oh, generation of vipers." Oh my. He called these people poisonous snakes. "How can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth speaketh. A good man of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things." Yes, those are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's another one. Mark 7 and 21 says, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders." And what else? And what else? Thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Christ said this. This is Mark 7 and verse 23. "All these evil things come from within and defile the man." That New Testament's a little tougher than a lot of people understand. They don't pay any attention to it, and it's not preached to them. Acts 7 and 51. Stephen, who had been preaching to these Jews, who were getting ready to stone him to death, to stone this man to death, and they stoned him after he said this. Acts 7 and verse 51. "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye." That's the New Testament also. Now you might say, "Hey, those are all the bad ones." Well, no. That's not all the bad ones. Now these are all bad. These are all speaking of the heart of man as he is born, the natural man. But trust me, if you don't trust me on anything else, that's not all the bad verses where it talks about the evil that's in men's heart and the evil that comes out of a man, out of his mouth, out of his deeds, because of his heart. These are the verses, some of the verses, that describe the state and some of the actions of the heart of the natural man. Stephen told these men that were going to stone him that if your heart and ears are uncircumcised, that means if you are left the way you were born, not been touched, your heart not been touched, your ears not been touched by God, you will always resist the Holy Ghost. And I know people, it's a funny thing, there are people out there who will try to use this verse here as a proof text, saying that, see, you can resist the Holy Ghost. You can overpower God's Holy Spirit. That's not what this is teaching. What this is teaching is, if God does not circumcise your heart and your ears, you will always, no choice in the matter, always resist the Holy Spirit of God. Now, how can that be? Oh, my goodness. How can that be? How can a man's evil heart not be overcome by his free will? Well, A, he doesn't have one. And B, God says you will not, and God also says you cannot. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14 tells us this. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. neither can he know them. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man, man as he is born, uncircumcised in heart and ears, that man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. And he doesn't want to. He does not want to. Man naturally does not want to know the truth of God. Why? For they are foolishness unto him. But Paul didn't leave it there. He's the one that wrote this. Paul didn't leave it there. He added, because it's true, neither can he know them. What? Neither can man know the things of the Spirit of God, because they have to be discerned spiritually. You may not hear this a lot where you go to church, or if you go to church, or if you've been to church in the past. But this is the truth of Scripture. This is Scripture I'm quoting. I'm not making anything up here. For, this is Romans 2 and verse 28 and 29. Also written by the Apostle Paul. For, he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. The true circumcision of the true Jew is not in the flesh. That's what Paul's getting at here in this statement, because he continues on in verse 29. For he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. Inwardly. The problem with man naturally is in man. He is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Mull on that a little bit. Circumcision, true circumcision, is of the heart. That's what the physical, fleshly circumcision was a picture of, a reference toward, a shadow of. Old Testament circumcision of the flesh was a foreshadowing, a shadow, a type of the circumcision of the heart that every child of God needs. The circumcised heart praises God and doesn't praise men. See, that's the sticking point in most religious societies around us. In most religious societies in this world, somewhere, somehow, some way, they elevate man and not God. Now, they'll use the name God. They may use the name Jesus Christ, but they won't tell you about his character. They won't tell you about the state, the true state of fallen man as he is born. The evil heart and the unruly tongue are completely and totally related. What did Christ say? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The mouth can't help it. It's in you and it's going to come out. However, according to Paul here, and according to Christ also, the circumcision of the heart changes the answer of the tongue. The uncircumcised heart speaks his praise of men. I made my decision for Jesus. Won't you come up here and make your decision for Jesus? Jesus needs you. He needs you, and you have to come forward. He's not going to force you. He's not going to make you. He's not going to do anything to you or for you. He's the good shepherd and you're a lost sheep, but he's not going to come find you. You've got to find him. That's basically what they're saying. And it's a lie on God. The good shepherd knows his sheep. And he goes out, he finds them, he picks them up and puts them on his shoulder, and he carries them back to the fold. And once he places them in the fold, he rejoices in the salvation, in the repentance of one sinner. That's the act of God. Here's what David wrote in Psalms. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Ooh, how do I get one of those? David wrote this, a man after God's own heart, it states in the scriptures. Where does man get a broken spirit? Where does man get a broken and contrite heart? That won't be despised. Well, I can tell you this, you don't work it up. You don't get it from yourself. It comes from God. David knew this one thing that this world doesn't want to know. What God requires, God has to and does provide. God provides. Because if that was Psalms 51 and verse 17, and I read that one first on purpose, but there's a verse about seven before that, Psalms 51 and verse 10, where David wrote this, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Whoa. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. David knew who to ask and David knew what to ask. How did he know that? God taught him. Man, as he is born, is fallen in Adam. He is man as he lives. Dead spiritually, he is dead in trespasses and in sins. Man needs his heart prepared. Man needs his ears, his heart and ears circumcised. Man must be born from above, born of God, in order to call upon the name of the Lord. Man must be born from above, born of God, to call upon the name of the Lord. He must be. Christ said it, ye must be born again. And that word is basically above. Ye must be born from above. That's the only way. Because Christ said so, and the scriptures bear him out. Christ taught this when speaking to Nicodemus. Paul taught this in writing to the Ephesians, and every other one of his epistles also. But in Ephesians he wrote, "By grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For ye are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, what? Unto good works. A circumcised heart and circumcised ears and eyes that see and a heart to perceive. It results in a change in the child of God. In man, not being anymore as he is born, but being born from above, being born of God. Because the heart of the natural man cannot and will not come to Christ. How can you say that? It's what the scriptures teach. The heart of the natural man is desperately wicked. It's deceitful above all things. Man deceives himself. Oh, he deceives others as well and tries to deceive even more. But here's the thing. Your deceitful heart, your desperately wicked heart will deceive you. You'll deceive yourself. But yet we see in the scriptures that men and women do come to Christ. Well, that's why I read this proverb. Because this proverb tells you how this is accomplished. How men and women come to Christ. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Once God has prepared your heart, what you say is going to change. You'll go from praising men to praising God and His work. You'll go from praising men, whether they be preachers or family or whoever. Or you did such a good job, brother, coming to the Lord, coming to the front of the church. And I remember the time and I remember the place. Well, that could be good and that could be bad. The question is, did you come to Christ? And if you come to Christ, you're going to know Him. You're going to love Him. You're going to talk about Him. You're not going to be praising men. You're going to be praising Him who gave you a new heart, who gave you the desire to be there. In order for a man or a woman to hear and understand the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, it has to be spiritually discerned. Well, in order for that to happen, the heart has to be prepared by the Lord. And He gives the answer of the tongue. Why? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And it will. Thank you.
This broadcast is supported by the believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Sovereign Grace Chapel is located in Crow, West Virginia, just off Country Club Drive on Annabelle Lane, just north of Little Beaver State Park. Our web address is www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Our mailing address is Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15, in Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732. Again, that's Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15, Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732. Come hear Christ preached.